Welcome everybody for the second time today. In this presentation we'll show you a tool that we have written called KDE Executor that we made available for KDE development, and we'll show two different applications to use it. First of the first one is automating and speeding up development and debugging, and the second one is regression testing. I'll first say a few introductory words about what it is, and then David will show some practical uses. We released KDE Executor 2.0, in June 2004. There were previous versions that were not available for KDE development. We made it free as a beer for non-proprietary KDE development, so it's just downloading it and use it for your development. The source code is at this time only available to our commercial customers. And if somebody finds a way how we can make the source code available to KDE developers without breaking our business model, then we'll happily do this and find the one who brings this, suggestion. Lots of beer, free beer. But we haven't really figured out how to do that yet. And we also make the promise that all future versions will be available for KDE development under the same conditions, so it's not a dead end for you if you use it and start getting used to it and build up a portfolio of test cases for your KDE applications. And of course, there are also commercial licenses available. KDE Executor doesn't only run on Unix, but even on Windows and the Macintosh embedded system. You can do a number of things with KDE Executor. You can do regression testing of a GUI. Regression testing is a technique where you create a number of test cases, typically fairly many of them, in a mid-sized application. And then you run these so-called regression tests over and over again. And the idea is that even after you have made a small change, you first run your regression test to see that you haven't broken anything that used to work previously. This is one of the cornerstones of extreme programming, XP. That in XP you write the tests first, and before you commit anything to the source code repository, CVS in our case, you first run your tests. And the idea is, of course, that in a perfect world, your test cases actually cover 100% of your code. In a more realistic world, you can probably be glad if you manage to cover 70 to 80% of your code with test cases, but that's still quite a good thing if you can regression test 3/4 of your code. Regression testing is backends and of command line applications and even of APIs is nothing new. It's even fairly simple to do. There are a number of tools like Deja Vu and others that you do that. But regression testing of graphical user interfaces have so far been quite difficult. Of course, there are a number of things that you need to do, like if you want to exercise in your test case how a certain dialog behaves, then you need to start up the application, open a menu maybe, or click on a toolbar button, and open the dialog and operate the dialog and close it again. And that has so far been difficult to achieve with GUI applications, because regression testing implies that you don't do this manually, but rather that you do this automatically in a perfect world from cron job, or maybe connected to a commit script or similar. There have been tools, commercial tools in the several thousand dollar range, like XRunner being available. I don't think many KDE developers have used XRunner for their development, if only for the price tag. It also does not work very well with Qt applications. Recently, two tools that for regression testing that are especially geared towards Qt applications have shown up, and that is Squish by FrogLogic, which consists of the two KDE developers, Reginald Stahlbauer and Harry Horton, and our own KDE Executor, which was mostly developed by Jesper Pearson, the author of the KDE Image Database and the KDE Regular Expression Editor, and myself. So this again shows that a lot of the driving forces in cube development come from the KDE board. So the two available GUI testing tools for KubeCamp have been developed by KDE developers. Another thing that you can use KDE Executor for and is debugging automation. David will show a situation where he has a feature that he is actively working on and where he needs to exercise a certain functionality in the program over and over again to check whether that he has not broken anything. And this is one of the things that take a lot of time in development. So you fire up the application, click on, let's say, extras, click on options, see the dialog, check the values of the dialog, see that you still didn't get it right, close the application down again, try another fix, and start it up again. And the startup phase can kick your way to the point where it used to crash. That's something that you can automate using KDE Executor. Another thing that can be useful for the KDE community is automated demos at trade shows. You can just have a demo point somewhere where you don't have to have KDE staff. We just let the application being played and played over and over again. And so maybe just the application automatically types in text into KWord and reformats that sort of things. In order to achieve these things, KDE Executor consists of two things: the record playback engine, where the record engine basically is one giant event filter that records everything that you do, and in the playback engine, these events are fed back to the application. And the interesting thing, and that is what both KDE Executor and Squish do different from previous approaches, is that we don't care about X events, we pick up the events at the cube level. And this gives us a number of advantages, like stability towards changes. Let's say that you have an application and that you run this at a certain font size, and you use your record engine to record just opening a menu somewhere. And now you change the font size of your desktop, so the menus are in slightly different positions. And if you only recorded the X and Y coordinates of the mouse, then you will likely open a different menu. And that's apparently not very useful if you can't. If just by changing the font size of your desktop, you have to re-record all your test cases. As I said, in a mid-sized to large application, it's likely to have hundreds or even thousands of test cases. So just re-recording that right here. And that's something that KDE Executor avoids by actually recording on which menu you clicked or which button you clicked. So it's very stable towards position changes and font changes and similar stuff. And then there's a graphical test environment that David will also demonstrate, where you can create your test cases in a graphical drag and drop environment, manage them, move them around, and assign them to applications, compare things, and so on. Okay, it's over to you.
As Hannah said, one of the goals of KDE Executor, one of the things you can use it for is automation. And something that happens a lot in development is you need a long sequence of clicking around the application and typing things and opening dialogues to reach the part of the program that you're working on. And if you find a bug in that part of the program, you're going to close everything, try to fix the code, recompile. And then when you launch again the application, you have to go through the same sequence over and over again to simply come back to the place where the bug was. And what KDE Executor does is that it helps you saving time on the first part of it, the part where you have to navigate through the application. And of course, one thing is when you want to replay the sequence of events, you want to replay it at full speed, not with the delays and seeing the mouse move around at the same speed as you did when you were recording. You want to replay it at full speed, and that's something that KDE Executor can do. What happens when you're recording is that a script file is created, and it's the one that is used during playback. But KDE Executor also needs a config file that has such configuration options as the speed of the replay and many other options. So you can use KDE Executor from the command line to do that. But it's going to need a lot of options, like I don't want the initial dialogue, I want this particular file, and so on. So what we did with Jesper was to write two bash functions that actually make this easier, because you only need to type one word and that's what we need. Like, I want to record a macro based on KWorld, so I'm going to do KWorld. So this is going to launch KWorld, and start recording events and putting the result in a script file. So I say, okay, let's create a new document. Let's add any random sentence in it, like in the world. And that's a bit big for you to read, so I'm going to make it much bigger. Or bold. And whatever. And to show you that dialogues work as well, I can just change the size of the page here. Okay. And let's say the case I was using this for was when I was working on the saving code, because we are going to work on a new file format in KOffice. I had to debug the saving code, so I had to every time open the application, type a few formatted paragraphs, and then save, and then it would break and then we need to type it again. So the whole idea here is to recall something that is going to save to a file, and then when you save to the file, it's going to do that over again. Of course, yeah, there is more problem here. You have to do it first to create the file, because the next time it's going to ask you, do you want to overwrite the file? And this has to be in the script. So we'll do that now. But yeah, anyway, I can stop it there. And now if I do a kplay, KOR is going to replay the script at full speed, doing exactly the same things as the things I did. So here it's typing, centering, creating dialogue, saving, cancelling, and closing. It's very fast because it doesn't have all the delays that I was using when doing it. So that's really saving time, because simply replaying the application goes very, very fast. Now, the other use of KDE Exhibitor is, as Kata said, for regression testing. And that's where you need to manage a whole lot of test suites with many test cases in them that test all the different paths in the application to check that everything is going properly. So we're going to do that and I'll come back to that very later on. The shell is called KDE Shell. And you create a test setup. In there, you create a test suite. The test suite is a bunch of tests for one application. So in here, I'm going to find the one application I'm interested in, and that's KOL. This one here. So yeah, there are a few configuration options here, but I don't think we have to go into that. So here, I've created a test suite for KOL. And then I can create a new test case in there. And that's going to be a test case about the zoom level. So we call it zoom level. Now I can recall the test. And that's where it's going to start the record engine and it starts the application. And now we're going to sort of be back again. So I do the same. I create a new document. I think I can get something well done. Now, what we can do with this, you know, the first thing I showed you was simply how to automate using the application. Okay, that's fine. But when you do a test case, what you want to do is to actually test that certain things in the application are the way they should be. For instance, I can say that the zoom combo here should display 75%. And at recall time, I'm going to say, okay, pick this combo here. So I click on it. And this is showing me the cute properties for this widget. So I can say, yeah, the selected item in this combo should be the one that we're currently seeing here. And also, the text should be 75%. Then I can use anything else and say, like, yeah, this button should be on. And while I'm doing that, it's making a list of the properties I've been choosing, and of course, which widgets it's about. And as you can see, it uses the cute name of the widget to find it again later on. So here I have said, okay, I picked those three properties, and those are the ones I'm interested in, and those are the ones that should have the same value the next time I'm going to run the application. Another thing you can do is a snapshot comparison. Instead of only sticking the cute properties are fine for simple widgets, but they are going to work for a more complex widget, like the array aware of where you type, or any widget that has some kind of custom drawing in it. So what you can say is, I want to make a snapshot of widget, and we're going to select this widget again. There. So it's making a copy of the widget as it looks now, and we'll compare against that when we're rerunning the test. Okay, and this is the test case I just created, and of course it says here in orange and above orange, it says this has been never run yet. What we can do now is to actually run this test. Run the tests, and that's where it's going to replay again, but this time at normal speed, so I hope I haven't talked too much for you to do that.
You spent some time on the combo box, so meanwhile I can say a few words about the properties. You may have noticed that those were not all properties that are available in the combo box. In order to make that context menu a little bit easier to navigate, we have selected the properties that you most often want to check, and then there's always the advanced submenu where you have access to all the properties. Also, if you want to test something in a widget for which there is no property, and for example, there is no property in Qt to query the value of a cell in a Qt table, and that's currently something very often want to do if you test anything table-based, then you can create so-called adapter. That's a plugin that's typically very small, dynamically loaded library that creates Qt loads, and that provides additional properties. So it's a bit of glue code that you provide for your own widgets. And then you can test any kind of properties. And for the common stuff that you very often want to do with Qt widgets, but for test with Qt widgets, but for which there are no properties, we even ship a bunch of adapters that we have found useful ourselves, like testing the value itself.
Okay, so now, as you can see, when you run the test again, in the exact same conditions, the test succeeded, it says okay again. Then, of course, one thing that happens in KWorld is that it saves settings between one run and the next one. So if I open KWorld and test the zoom level here, and then I close KWorld again, this means if I'm going to rerun the test here, I'm going to rerun the test, and the zoom level is going to be different because it was saved from what I just did. So this time, the test should actually fail because the combo box has a different value than it had initially. But this means we have to wait for the test again. What happens if you don't specify a name for a widget is that Qt is going to generate the name, and this name is going to be unique. It's unnamed #1, #2, #3. So the widget has a different name. But of course, when you do that, you run a little bit into trouble if you add new widgets, and then they might change the sequence of those automatically named widgets. And that's why, if you know your application is going to be used with regression testing, then you better name the widgets so that they have a fixed name that identifies them better. But it still works with any widgets.
And we spend, we do quite some efforts finding the right widget to send an event to during the playback. Even if all your widgets are called unnamed something, we do things like looking for the right type of widget, if we have the sequence, this fully specified identifier of a widget, which is the sequence from the top level widget. And we are trying to follow the sequence both from the top level widget and from the leaf. So there are many cases, there are many things you can do to your application, and changes you can do to your application before you actually break the test script. And that's how it should be, because it's sort of, that's an investment of your time that you do in your application creating the test cases, so they should be as stable as possible.
So here you can see that the test failed, as expected. So it's shown in red here, and it says two things failed: the property comparison, because the current item in the combo box wasn't the one we expected, and the screenshot comparison. And you can look in details by doing properties here. And you have a table that shows you all the properties we're testing for. And you can see that the current item for the combo was 6 instead of 4, but since that doesn't really tell you what it was, I also used the text so that you can see it's 125% instead of 75%. But for instance, the button that was on, it's still on, so this is fine. What you can do at this point is if the change in the application was meant to be the change that you really wanted to make, then you can say, I want to copy the current values to the expected values, what's also called the baseline. And this means from now on, I'm expecting to see 6 and 125% when I do a further regression testing. And I'm supposed to, I forgot to do the comparison again.
So what the previous setting was that the screenshot that doesn't match fails the test automatically. This is not always what you want. There are changes to your widget, to your application, or to the way it looks that you would still consider okay. For example, if you change to, in the meantime, you change to another color scheme or something like that, would still mean that the screenshot is okay. And in order to have a say yourself on that, you can, what we just did, turn on manual screenshot comparison. As far as I know, at the current state of technology, there is not enough advanced artificial intelligence to do such a comparison. This screenshot is still more or less, or is still close enough to the previous screenshot that I took. Okay, it's a different font, it's a different color, it's a different size, but really the context is really the same. So that's something that at this point only humans can do. And that's why we allow manual intervention there. So if you turn on the manual comparisons, then you see here, if you can go to the detailed results, just erase the detailed results or close the one here. You see here that it says for the screenshots now needs human intervention. So this means the outcome of this test can't really be decided yet because we want to manually compare the screenshots. The whole test was considered failed anyway because the properties failed. And if any of the test conditions fails, apparently the whole test case fails. We always want to err on the safe side here, and if there is any doubts, we consider the test failed. So here's here.
So that's the video where you can do the screenshot comparison. So you can either see them side by side, or you can blink between the two. So of course in this case it's obvious, but when it's only a few pixels that change, you can see it more easily when you make the two images blink and you see where it moves. But of course if it's the whole window of the application and one pixel is different, you might not see it even by blinking. So in that case you want to use the side-by-side diff, which is going to show a black pixel for any difference between the two. So in this case it's a completely garbage, but if you had only one pixel that was different in a whole window, you would see one black pixel, and that would tell you this is what the problem is. And that's why the human intervention happens, that you can say, okay, this is a difference, or the test failed, or yeah, this is okay, so the test succeeded. So obviously here it's two different conversations, it failed.
And now you can see that the screenshots section is marked as failed as well. Now there's no more human intervention necessary. Just did the intervention.
There was a question.
If you have the automatic comparison of the screenshots, how can you see what actually was different? Because you have to rerun the test to review it.
Right now, actually, you can. It's something that we thought, if you say they are failed, then they are failed, and then you shouldn't be bothered with extra functionality to see them. But right now, from our experience, we've noticed that this is inconvenient. You still probably want to see it, so this is something that will change for the next version.
What you can do after that, after you have a bunch of results, is to actually manage the results here. So you can see that I've run the test 3 times, and the third time, one thing failed, and that was the zoom level test phase. And from there, or actually from the whole test, from the run here, I can export the run to HTML, and that's in order to generate a report out of the test I've been doing. Yeah. This has generated an HTML page, which I'm doing for you too. And this creates the summary page by the test I've just been running, And it says here, what we've seen in the GUI is that the test failed because of proxy comparisons and screenshots, and there is a table with the list of properties that didn't match.
This will not, this is the type of enterprise features you're looking for. This is for the pointy head people who want an HTML recall for test cases. That's why we're looking.
Well, actually, you say that, but Kudu does the same with the KHTML regression testing. And Kudu developed a framework for doing the same kind of thing in KHTML. And then what we can do is upload the HTML page to some website and tell the developer, hey, this is your fault, this is your fault, so you better fix those things. So it's actually useful for simply sharing the results of a regression test.
Okay,
run it and
unattended.
Oh yeah, the program. Yeah, please. Test. So I'm going to create and save. And now what you've seen here is that you can manually run tests after you've made a change in the application. But if you're managing a big project and have lots of people making changes, you can't rely on them doing that all the time. You might prefer to have an automated setup where those tests are going to be run from a cron job or maybe from a commit script, so that regularly you can check that the application still works as expected. And this is something you can do with KDX shell. So we'll use the setup and run all the scripts.
Exported. Of course, if you want to run this from a cron job for this to work, you need to set the display environment variable in your cron tab.
And one thing you can do, you know, in this case, it's using the display, so I can't really use the computer at the same time. But you can use XNest or even XFB something instead. XBFB, it's a way to have an X session run that is not visible, it's just running somewhere in memory. And it also helps having fixed settings. You can have you can fix the resolution and the color depth and everything in that X buffer, so that it's always the same and the tests are not going to fail because someone has a different X configuration from someone else.
You can think of the possible implications of this feature. Now you can start KDE applications from cron job, do things in them, and shut them down without being there yourself from a cron job. Run this in your boss's computer.
Okay, so it's time for more questions if you have any.
Is the test actually user editable? I mean, this doesn't produce a text file which you can edit without actually restarting the program.
Yes, and that's actually pretty useful. I've been using it a few times. The test is actually saved as XML. And you can see here, every element in the XML is a cube event. So I can see here that I pressed space, and then I pressed a key, and then some of the, there is of course some focus stuff due to switching windows, and that's not really useful. And then you have, you know, any kind of cube event is recorded in there. So if you want to change something to a script without re-recording it from the start, then you can just go there and change it.
There have been a number of requests of making this scriptable. Having this as a script, I personally think it's not such a good idea because those scripts will be quite unmaintainable. And also, another idea of the whole setup is that not only developers should be able to use this, but also people who are willing to help out testing, maybe of the KD quality teams who don't know about development themselves, might be scared off if they are confronted with a script in a scripting language, but we probably won't be scared off as much by XML file, which you don't have to look at anyway. But still, we are planning for the next version to put in QSA scripting. So at least optionally, it will be possible to even program or edit the scripts in a programmer-like fashion.
Is it possible to replay the demos in real time and with the same speed that were required for demoing applications?
Yes, as you can see, when I did the replay from the GraphQL environment, it was at the same speed as the speed I was doing the recording. That's why it took some time. And of course, if you do a demo of an application, it's going to go slowly at the same speed as the one you were using when you were recording.
Is there any way other than tweaking that XML file by hand to compute the expected values every time the test is run? Because, for instance, I might be working on a clock widget or something, and always want the current time, the given time from the script, the output from the script or something, to be the expected value.
Not in this version. I'm currently working on importing CSV files for generating a series of expected values.
And another question I was having is now whether you can insert, while recording, insert certain delays into the file you're recording. Because, for instance, I might be having a dialog which displays its widgets and then uses some queue timer to delay the actual initialization. So I need to wait for like 500 milliseconds or something.
Yeah.
I don't want full speed, not at a certain
this
point.
Exactly what the insert pose button is for.
Ah.
During recording, you can say, when I'm replaying this application, even if I'm replaying at full speed, I might want to wait a bit for something to happen. And I need that when testing the loading and saving code. Because when saving, I was simply doing save and close the application and exit. And if you replay that at full speed, and given that saving is asynchronous because it uses KIA, it would abort the application before the saving was done, so I had an empty file every time. So what I did was to insert a pose here and something like half a second or even less than that, just enough for waiting for the saving to happen, and then you can put the application. It's still a better solution than having to run the whole test at normal speed, because that would take ages.
But you can configure how long the pause is going to be.
Sure.
I thought it would be half a second or something for your file saving.
There's even another feature here that you can see, because that you can see the synchronization points that goes to the same direction. The basic idea behind this is, let's say you are filling, for example, a list box or a combo box with values from a database, and those values are coming in asynchronously. And one of the things you want to test is whether you actually get all the values from the database. But you don't know how long you have to wait because you are accessing the database via a network connection, so you can't really specify the absolute value. So what you can do with a synchronization point, you can specify that replay should wait until a certain property value has been reached, or there's a simple expression language with less than, greater than, and simple arithmetic expressions built into that. And you can also specify a maximum timeout, of course, when you don't want to wait any longer. And if you say, I want to wait up to 5 seconds until there are 10 entries in this list box, because then I expect everything to be loaded from the database, even once you have a network connection, and if after those 10 seconds the list box still only has 7 entries, then I consider that test as failed because apparently I've made something wrong or I'm missing some of the records.
If you have a script to test the database when the test is done, is there a way to view from the GUI that script failed, or do you have to add some manual code for that? Manual evaluation. Is it integrated?
Yeah, you can specify the exit codes of the script. So if you have a script to check the database or other things afterwards, it's done by exit codes. You can specify by default 0 exit codes considered succeeded and everything else is considered failed, but you can also specify the range of exit codes that you consider succeeded or failed. And that is integrated into the graphical display. So we have 5 different criteria how things can go wrong. First of all, the application can crash. That's the criteria normal exit. This is just the return value of Q-process normal exit. Second criteria is the application's exit code. GUI applications these days don't very often use exit codes. But if you do, then you can check the exit code of your own application. And even there, you can specify your range. You can say exit code 0 to 5 are actually considered success and everything else is failure. And the third one is the properties that David showed. The fourth one is the screenshots. And the fifth criteria is whether the post-test check sent back an exit code that was considered a success. We can also specify what is a success.
We just saw how you write this from the command line and so. But is it also supported if you actually want to debug the program? So you can start your automatic test and then set breakpoints or what if the program has a segmentation fault and things like that, and then debug.
There are two cases here. If the program crashes, you're going to get a normal core file that you can open and look into. Because what the way KKD Executor works is that it's a small preloaded library inside your application that has the playback engine. But it's still that's part of the same process, and it's just a different main, and it's going to run a different main loop. But all the rest of the application is unchanged. It's not like by grind, it's not an emulator. It's only a little bit of Qt code injected into the application to do the playback. So if it crashes, you can open GDB on it on the core file and it's like as usual.
But
if you want to test GDB while the program is running, you know, you can do that on any process as long as you make the process wait a bit, you know, you have to have a post somewhere, and then you type GDB, name of the process, and name of the PID, and then it's going to open GDB on the process, and that's going to work as well.
And then GDB will just stop event processing, and if you run continue, then the events will continue to be fed into your application.
The thing I think you can do is that from the start in GDB with the data.
But I must admit that I've never tried it, and I think you can.
I think this is a rather normal case because often the situation occurs that a program crashes somehow obscurely, so you don't see why it actually crashes. So you want to place breakpoints, you perhaps want to stop the automated tests just before the thing happens and do the last few steps and things like that.
This is actually one in the development. This is one step before you would use this. So what you could do is if you could use KD Executor first. If you know your application is always crashing when you click on a certain push button in a certain dialog, then you can use, as David has shown, you can use KD Executor to always go back to this dialog and press the push button at full speed without having to manipulate the application manually. Look at the core time. You can even run this from well grind. So we've actually KDX approved a well-grinded KDE application that works just fine, except that it's of course slow, as well-grinded programs are, but it works just fine. And once you have fixed your bug, what you want is, whenever you fix a bug, you want to create a test case that tests the absence of just that bug. So that's one of the ideas of regression testing. If you fix a bug, you want to be sure that you don't reintroduce it again. So that's one of the golden rules. If you fix a bug, create a test case that ensures that you don't introduce it again, or that it doesn't treat it from another way. That's the second situation where you can use KDX.
And to answer your question, what you could also do is to recall the test case up until the button that crashes, but before kicking on it. And then the whole application would go to that state, and then you have all the time you want to open GDB on the application, and click on the button manually, and step by step see why it crashes. You don't have to create a test case that goes up until closing the application. You can recall up until somewhere with the application open and some dialog open, and stop there. And from there on, you can manually take over and continue clicking on the application.
Okay.
Further questions? I think that was just a stretching.
Yes.
Maybe we should at least say we could download the form just to get include them in the slides. Did it work? So go to www.kdex.net, click on products, click on KDXQt, and then you'll find the link there to that. Okay. And of course, we are very interested in feedback.
Is there a possibility to run something like random tests? I mean, that KDXQt actually simulates a user that actually clicks randomly anywhere and types something just anywhere, like something like that.
It's a good idea, I don't think it's a good idea.
For who, yeah. That is when I do the CSV import. That's one of the features I plan to include there, having random data to act upon. Random clicks is a considerably more difficult problem, because you can't just feed the application events in any way, because some events are only possible after others have happened. For example, an event that goes to a push button in the dialog is of course only makes sense after the dialog has been opened. So you just can't generate random events. You could consider that maybe for a limited case, like clicking at random positions in a larger widget, like the text editor widget in KWord, for example. So that that it doesn't crash wherever you click. But generally, I don't think that's even a solvable problem without knowing the application beforehand, and then it's not really random anymore.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question, if there is one. If not, then Kalle, thanks very much. Thank you.